This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have mostly sunny skies right now, 81 degrees, possibility of a shower or thunderstorm late in the day.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by the Perfect Workout. Let's kick things off with an update of the markets from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, the Dow higher by 65 points right now at 22,064, NASDAQ gaining 25 points, S&P up 7, the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up 0.5%. Home construction faltered in July. We saw an abrupt slowdown in apartment building and a modest decline in construction of single-family homes. The Commerce Department's housing starts measure finds an unexpected 4.8% drop. Multifamily home starts, that's apartment buildings, fell more than 15%. And the measure of future construction activity suggests there won't be a big pickup anytime soon. Building permits down more than 4%. Helping stocks today is finally some good news from retailers. Target and Urban Outfitters both beat profit and sales forecasts, and both are raising their full-year profit predictions. In less than an hour, we'll get the minutes of the last Fed policy meeting. Investors are anxious to see if there are any hints about when central bankers might start reducing their balance sheet. And in just the last hour or so, we've had a couple more CEOs join others in stepping down from President Trump's advisory council. The CEOs of 3M now and Campbell Soup have both resigned. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. And in fact, we're going to be talking about the CEOs who are turning their backs on the White House. We're discussing what's at stake for them. And housing starts, mortgage rates are falling.
And Personal Finance Wednesday. If you're a member of the gig economy, are there any things mid-year you need to be prepping for with taxes? Also, Apple is even bigger in the original content business, competing with Netflix and Amazon. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
President Trump's relationship with members of the business community and CEOs is a little stressed today. Seven leaders, CEOs, have stepped down from the president's American Manufacturing Council. Let's talk with Tom Serafin, founder and CEO of Serafin and Associates here in Chicago. Tom, this is an interesting moment for these CEOs. What is at stake if they stay with the president, and what is at stake if they walk away?
Well, it's all about business, but, you know, over the last 10, 14, 15 years, business CEOs have gotten more and more into the public sector as far as commenting about world affairs, public affairs. They like to stay away from politics, but about issues, that's a more important issue. You know, there's 200 people, you know, sign that petition, CEOs, with regard to the gay situation down south. This situation is a little bit different because they're dealing with the president of the United States. And there have been a lot of research done on CEOs being involved in this kind of activity. You need to have some guidelines when you do get involved. And, you know, you need to have it tied back to what your company profile is and what your company's message is. If you can tie a criticism, public policy criticism, right to what you stand for as a company, it's going to work. But if it's done just for politics or for publicity, it's going to backfire on you.
I would expect that the CEOs are looking at the people who work for them and, you know, what their the issues in their lives are when they make a decision like this.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, research shows that people now, especially the millennials, are gravitating towards companies that have a reputation of being involved. The millennials are very much involved in something like that. In addition to that, when you take a look at some of the research, people are much more, and customers are much more happy with an organization if they react in a crisis in time by 85%. 88% of the companies talk to the customers and talk to them immediately. But, you know, when you talk to about social media today, a lot of the CEOs are texting their opinions. It takes an average of 38 hours to get out an opinion from a CEO or a company. It's too long a time, and you see the damage that can be done in a day and a half. So if you're going to be political, you got to plan these kinds of things. If you're going to get involved in a public policy issue, you have to know what you're talking about. Tie it back to your organizational structure, what the company means to you, and why you stand for what you stand for, so that you have some purpose for making that announcement. It's so important. Bill George, who used to run Medtronic, wrote a long article about it. When the mission and values are violated, CEOs have an obligation to speak publicly. If you can do that, it works for you. But if you can't tie it to what your organization stands for, it's going to backfire. And you look at what Amazon did today. The president goes out and tweets, and how much was it, $6 billion in market share they lost this morning? That's a big, you have to take into consideration business and your customers and the bottom line.
Tom Serafin, appreciate you joining us. Tom, founder and CEO of Serafin and Associates here in Chicago. And right as we were talking with Tom, some breaking news.
There seems to be a solution to this.
Yes.
Axios is reporting that the president's top CEO council has just voted to disband the business advisory group. And amid all the tumult and the response to the weekend white nationalist violence in Charlottesville. So we have a new angle here on this story.
And then instead of the slow trickle from the Manufacturing Council, this group
it's all over.
Yeah, just disbanded altogether. Keep it right here on News Radio. Obviously, we'll be bringing you updates whenever they happen.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The latest tally of housing starts tops today's data, plus the Federal Reserve releases the minutes of its most recent meeting next hour. Some info on mortgages as well. Josh Shapiro joins us, chief U.S. economist at New York-based economic and market consulting firm MFR Inc. Josh, let's begin with mortgage rates. They're the lowest in months, really since the election, yet we're not necessarily seeing a lot of people running out to get these mortgages.
No, I mean, mortgage application activity has been fairly muted. But if you look at the housing data that came out today, the single-family sector held in quite well. The weakness was all in multifamily starts, which are quite volatile month to month. They've clearly been trending down, though, but the more important sector is single-family for economic activity and knock-on effect of economic activity, and I think that's pretty well supported by home sales right now.
And is that economic activity because of what goes into building the houses or other ancillary things?
Well, it's both. It's the building of the houses, but also when somebody is moving into a new home, they tend to need to buy a lot of stuff. So it has a knock-on effect for consumer spending as well.
What are we going to learn about the Fed minutes? What are you looking to see what the Fed wrote?
Well, I think what most people are looking for, there's two things. One is, how worried are they, or how worried are the minutes willing to say they're worried about the lower inflation numbers that we've been seeing? That's number one. And number two is any sort of color on the balance sheet reduction and, you know, when that might begin. You know, they've been a little cagey about that. Most people expect an announcement at the next FOMC meeting for it to begin either shortly thereafter or certainly by year end. And so any color on that will be most welcomed by markets.
What are the basics that explain the soft inflation that we're seeing?
Well, it's really been on the service side. You know, goods inflation has been soft for quite some time. That's not the new element. But since the end of last year, the entire decline we've seen in the rate of inflation has been on the service side of the economy. And, you know, everybody's trying to say, oh, there's all these one-off things that are causing this. But when you get a whole series of one-off things, you look at it as a whole, it's not a one-off. It's slower inflation on the service side. And I think that the Fed is quite worried about this. And until they get some comfort that inflation at the minimum is stabilizing, I think it's going to be very hard for them to raise interest rates again.
Now, if they don't do that, is that potentially, a larger bad signal about what may be going on? Has the Fed put itself in a position where it has to keep raising rates?
No, I don't think so. I think that they are still, when it comes to interest rates, very data dependent. When it comes to the balance sheet thing, I think that's going to be more of an autopilot, regardless of what the economy is doing, unless things get really bad. But barring that, I think that they would like that just to continue, as they've said in the background. But the interest rate decision is clearly, I think, for still very data dependent. And if they're not getting comfort that inflation is stabilizing and not getting further from their 2% target, again, it's going to be difficult for them to raise rates until that happens.
Josh Shapiro, Chief U.S. Economist at MFR Inc., joining us today. Up next, a check of the markets from Bloomberg. WBBM News Time 12:25, the latest market news from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow is higher by just 44 points now. We're seeing the three main benchmarks pairing gains. The blue chips up 0.2% at 22,042. NASDAQ is higher by 17, S&P up 5. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index still higher by 0.5%. After 3M's chief executive officer and the CEO of Campbell Soup stepped down from the White House's Manufacturing Council, we just got a tweet from the president about 10 minutes ago. It says, rather than putting pressure on the business people of the Manufacturing Council and Strategy and Policy Forum, I am ending both. Thank you all. So it appears the president is ending and disbanding the councils that he had set up to hear from business leaders in the wake of an exodus of leaders leaving those councils. So that's where we stand with that. We've got crude oil futures lower by 1% right now, right at $47 a barrel. We also have a check of the grain markets with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed prices here today. Corn's been down 5 to up 1.5 at the moment. December corn down 1.75 at 366.75. Beans have been down 4.5 to up 3.5. Presently, November's are up 2.25 at 926.5. And wheat's been down 12 to up 6. Presently, September wheat down 6.75 at 422.75. Mixed prices here today in the grain pit. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Pete, thank you. We are about 15 minutes away, make that 30 minutes away from the release of the last Fed policy minute meetings minutes, and we will keep you posted on that. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are higher. We'll see what's elevating the markets.
Personal Finance Wednesday summer tax tips include help navigating the tricky waters of the gig economy.
Apple set to spend $1 billion in the next year to obtain and produce original content.
An activist Chicago clergyman is calling for the removal of signs at parks named for presidents who owned slaves.
The family of a 32-year-old woman killed during violent protests in Virginia says she always wanted fairness, even from a young age.
Markets a little higher, the Dow up 33, the NASDAQ up 11, S&P 500 up by 3.
Sunshine in Chicagoland, chance for some rain on the way, 84 degrees at 12:31.
CBS News special report. More fallout from President Trump's remarks after the Charlottesville violence. CEOs had objected to those. Seven had left two presidential panels. Correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
All of them said that the president's response to Charlottesville necessitated their departure. So today the president himself is tweeting that he's going to disband not only this manufacturing council, but also another organization that he had put together, what he called the Strategic and Policy Forum.
In Chile, Vice President Mike Pence addressed the Charlottesville violence.
I stand with the president, and I stand by those words.
The president has tweeted calling Heather Heyer a especially, truly special young woman. She was killed in Saturday's confrontations. Today in Charlottesville,
Amazing Grace.
A service for Heather Heyer. Her mother is Susan Brough.
They tried to kill my child to shut her up. Well, guess what? You just magnified her.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Dave Barry.
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:32, the Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park, also sponsored by GWC Law.
And we are joined by Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at BMO Private Bank here in Chicago. Jack, got to ask, we're getting these news updates constantly now with the president's problems. How does that affect the job of Chief Investment Officer? And, you know, do you count this in incidents like these?
Well, I count it in if investors think it's important. And right now, if you look at the market today, I think investors are certainly reacting to it. You know, we were up pretty substantially earlier today, and as this news has come out, we're still higher, but the market has taken a turn downward pretty dramatically.
All right. So looking forward, how are you feeling about the markets right now?
In general, you know, I'm willing to look past this and really focus on the fundamentals. Earnings growth coming in at over 10% year over year. That's pretty solid. Economic activity is pretty strong. We've got the best retail sales growth since last December this month. And inflation is low. So if you put all of those ingredients together, you do have a recipe for should be that, you know, continued gains in risk taking.
So what are any maybe warning signs out there that you're seeing?
Well, I don't see, I mean, the warning signs, I guess, that are out there are one, market is relatively expensive when gauged against its own history. In fact, over the last 10 years, the current valuation on price to sales and price to earnings are probably in the one percentile of its historical range. But that said, equities are still relatively attractive compared to bonds, which yields are just remarkably low, thanks in large part to the Fed and other central banks.
Interested in your thoughts on retail in general. We have Target outperforming expectations, TJX doing really well. It's almost as though bricks and mortar not quite dead yet.
No, I think there's still room for the discounters. TJX has had a long history of defying analyst expectations and delivering. And so I do think that you know, for the most part, the discounters should be able to continue to thrive. You know, keep in mind, you know, when it comes to online shopping, generally you have to know what you want before you click and buy it. But when it comes to shopping at these discounters, generally consumers really don't know what they're going to get. They may have something in general in mind, but they're going to look and browse and see what they can find. So I do think that that phenomenon is still pretty strong. Certainly Americans love discounts, and those discounters have really come through. A lot of them have.
What areas of the market would you be putting money into now, buying or at least keeping, staying?
Sure. So, in general, we have, you know, for the most of this year, actually maintained an overweight position in international markets, largely because they're relatively cheaper to the U.S. Their fundamentals, like the economy, is growing a little bit faster than the U.S. And at least up till recently, their currencies were a lot cheaper. And so you put that together, and that's helped propel them this year. We have funded that with a slight underweight in U.S. large caps. But, you know, I would say for your listeners, it's really it should just be a simple decision whether to be in and stay in or put money in. And right now it seems that the environment is pretty favorable for risk taking.
We've seen oil for quite a while now really hover in that mid-$40 range. Is it a good time to get into energy or kind of wait and see?
Well, I've, you know, been of the school that, you know, day to day, the energy market exhibits wild swings, but week to week, month to month, it seems pretty stable. So for our purpose, you know, we like master limited partnerships just because they are tied to the oil market. But if oil just stays where they are, these instruments generally pay out 5, 6, 7% yield. You know, if you're willing to, you know, look past the day-to-day volatility, they're interesting yield vehicles.
Jack, always nice to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today. Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at BMO Private Bank here in Chicago. Ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday. It's not too early to be thinking about taxes, plus making sure a side job doesn't get you in trouble with the IRS.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. This afternoon, we're looking at the gig economy and how independent contractors can stay on the good side of the tax man. We're joined by Eva Rosenberg, known worldwide as the Tax Mama, best-selling author, editor of TaxMama.com, based in Los Angeles. Eva, these are people in the gig economy. They have some unique challenges when it comes to taxes.
They do, and I think one of the biggest challenges they have is understanding the fact that they're actually in business.
And so explain that. Explain how they, what exactly they should understand.
Yeah. Normally, people who have jobs, it's very straightforward. They get paid. They have withholding. But people who get paid with a 1099 still think of themselves as employees. So they don't open separate bank accounts, they don't set money aside for estimated tax payments, and they don't do all of the things to get business cards, licenses that they might need, and everything else you need to do to set up a business, not just for compliance issues, but to cut your taxes.
Let's talk about the increasingly popular Airbnb rentals, and this is a business.
This is definitely a business, unless they just do it. Here's the neat thing. If they do it once a year for 14 days or less, then they can keep all the money tax-free, not have to do anything else. That is the neatest thing. But if they're doing it on any regular basis that lasts 15 days or more during the year, they're in business. And they may have to register with the city. You know, cities these days are getting more concerned because of the hotels complaining about the competition. They may have to get licenses. They may have to take care of certain security issues. But they can track all of their purchases because some people are very hospitable. They buy supplies. They might buy food for their tenants. They might buy separate linens and things. And they've got laundry and things that go, you know, along with cleaning the place after tenants leave. There are a whole lot of expenses that if they track them really carefully, they would have very high deductions they can use on their tax returns. And there are a couple of applications they can use. There is QuickBooks everyone knows about. There's another lesser-known application called Xero, X-E-R-O, both of which let you scan your receipts and expenses directly into the app from your phone. And it doesn't have to be rocket science.
All right. We're going to have to say good afternoon to you. But where can people see what you have written and the advice that you have?
What you know what? They can get free advice anytime. Come to TaxMama.com, T-A-X-M-A-M-A. Click on Ask a Free Question. And I answer those questions every morning.
All right. Okay. So that's great news. Thank you, Eva. Thanks for joining us. Eva Rosenberg, thetaxmama.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. Still to come, Apple is set to unleash a huge investment in original programming content.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:51. Apple's ready to spend major money to produce and obtain original content over the next year. Let's find out more. Tim Hanlon joining us, founder and CEO of the media consultancy firm Vertere Group in Chicago. Tim, $1 billion. This isn't just some sort of a hobby or something fun for Apple. They're pretty serious.
Well, Cisco, they have been serious before, at least have tried to make a number of different moves over the last couple of years in television, in content with Apple TV and other initiatives. $1 billion, clearly, nothing to sneeze at. And the idea, frankly, is to start spending on original premium content, very similar to the budgets and the initiatives that folks like Amazon and Netflix are doing. There's one big difference, though. While Netflix and Amazon have been spending like drunken sailors, they are deficit spending, right? They are very much companies that have major components of debt, but rising stock prices. Apple's a far different situation. Apple has about $40 billion, with a B, in cash on their books. So $1 billion of money from those corporate coffers, not too big a chip for Apple to play.
And is this going to be happening? Are they saying this is going to be in process?
Yeah. So in essence, Chris, you see that Apple has hired two former Sony TV executives and a guy named Matt Chernus, who came over from WGN America. All three of them have been creating quality shows for the last number of years, things like The Outsiders and Underground, et cetera. They basically have been charged with getting Apple very serious into content ownership and quickly.
Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertere Group, joining us here on the Noon Business Hour. Be sure to join us tomorrow. We'll take a look at the impact of the solar eclipse on businesses and a check of the markets with Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time, 12:55. We're wrapping up the Noon Business Hour with a check of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, bigger gains are gone. The Dow is higher by just 25 points now. NASDAQ up 10, S&P adding 3. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up 0.4%. While the going has been tough for brick and mortar retailers with Amazon's rapid growth, today, Target is providing some hope for traditional retailers. The big box chain is reporting second quarter earnings, revenue, and same-store sales growth, all of it topping Wall Street's forecast. And Target is also raising its profit outlook for the entire year. That is boosting Target shares almost 4%. Crude futures taking another leg lower, down almost 1.5% and falling to $46.88 a barrel. Home builders took a bit of a break last month, easing back on starting new projects. The Commerce Department says housing starts fell 4.8% from June. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.